Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 1, chapter number 1, text number 6. Rishayo Huchu Svaya Kala Purana Puranani Sheti Shani Sheti Hashani Chanagya Akyantyapyapyaditani Dharma Shastrani Yanyuta Rishaya Huchu Vaya Kalo Puranani Stiti Hashani Chanaka Akyantanya Pyana Ditani Dharma Shastrani Yanyuta. In the recorded class of Srila Prabhupada speaking on this verse, that third line, several of the devotees messed up and Prabhupada stepped in each time and corrected it, had them pronounce it. That is a difficult line. Please chant.
Rishayahuchu.
Bhaktivedanta Academy. Since I mentioned that third line, the girls nailed it. Rasaya, the sages, Uchu, said, Tvaya, by you, Kalu, undoubtedly.
Pranani.
The supplements to the Vedas with illustrative narrations. Sa-itihashani. Along with the histories. Cha. And. Anaga. Freed from all vices. Akyatani. Explained. Api. Although. Aditani. Well read. Dharma Shastrani. Scriptures giving right directions to progressive life. Yani. All these. Utta. Said. Translation. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Please repeat. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A Goswami, or the bona fide representative of Srila Vyasadeva, must be free from all kinds of vices. The four major vices of Kali Yuga are, number one, illicit connection with women, number two, animal slaughter, number three, intoxication, number four, speculative gambling of all sorts. A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasasan. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasasan who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above-mentioned vices. He not only should be freed from all such vices, but also must be well-versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also part of the Vedas, and histories like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana are also part of the Vedas. The Acharya, or the Goswami, must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. Very important sentence. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravanam, and explaining is called Kirtanam. The two processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Om Jnana Timadandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandumlam Jayati Giri Yakripa Tamaham Pandan Sri Gurindin Tanya Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubaheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnadevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So we are very, very fortunate to live in this Kali Yuga. Now, this isn't the usual statement you would hear at the start of a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Usually the speaker will spend some matter of time decrying Kali Yuga, decrying the difficulties of this age, particularly the famous verse, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Everyone born in this age has got so many difficulties, so many problems. Born in a low-class scenario, no elevated birth in this age with great qualities and all like this. So it's not the usual statement that we're living in a very beneficial time. But here's why I say that. Due to mass book publication and distribution, this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada described, I have put everything into it. So due to mass book distribution and publication, this is available to all of us. Not only all of us sitting here, but to everyone. I remember we used to distribute Prabhupada's books widely without concern for who the recipient might be and what they might be reading. I remember one time after distributing Nectar of Devotion for some number of months, a gentleman walked up to me in the airport and he said, I do have one question for you. I got your book and I was reading it. I said, yes. He said, I just have one question. How is belching a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna? Now, if you've read the Nectar Devotion, it is one of the symptoms of ecstasy that one may manifest. But this is generally a topic for those a little bit above street life. However, the books are there, and we passed them out widely, and people read things that they may or may not have understood, but they came in contact with the books. So one of the benefits of Kali Yuga, this section of the Bhagavatam, we're very, very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada personally spoke on these verses. Sometimes we read portions of the Bhagavatam and we have Prabhupada's purport, or as we just recently finished in the end, we have Prabhupada's disciples, but we don't have Prabhupada's actual commentary or speaking, his lectures on these. But with this particular section of the Bhagavatam, we're actually very, very fortunate. It allows us the opportunity to get direct insight by both reading and hearing the exact words that Prabhupada had to say in connection with this early section of the Bhagavatam. We all know the history. Prabhupada spent so much time in Vrindavan perfecting his first canto to his satisfaction, getting it printed with great difficulty, going back and forth from Vrindavan to Delhi. Now you just hop in a car and 2.5 hours, boom, you're at the airport. It wasn't the case back then. And plus, Prabhupada was extremely frugal. So he was taking whatever the least expensive means of transportation was and going back and forth to get the Bhagavatam printed and then making the arrangements to bring the Bhagavatam here to America and distribute. We were hearing just the other day that as he got off the boat, he had no money, so he sold a set of Bhagavatams to the captain so he would have some money in New York. So this was how important this was to Prabhupada. So when I was tasked with giving this class, preparing for it, I wanted to hear, what did Prabhupada have to say about this verse? Let me read Prabhupada's purport, of course, but let me go through and find. Now, there's a wonderful website connected with the BBT and the archives called Prabhupadvani.org. And it is the unedited, and by unedited, I mean raw transcripts, recordings, of the classes, all the coughing or all the interruptions or all the side comments that Prabhupada would make, or you know, the full kirtan and then all the word for word, and everything is there. It's really quite nice to listen to it. It's like you're sitting in the actual Bhagavatam class. So I was very excited because I've been listening to lectures off this website for quite some time, but this is wonderful, you know. So I go through and I search it out and I look up and there's chapter, canto 1, chapter 1, verse 5, great. And then it skips, chapter 1, canto 1, chapter 1, verse 9. You're like, oh, great. All right, I don't get to hear it on this one. Anyway, if I listen to what he had to say on the verses before and after, it'll give me a picture, a concept of what Prabhupada's mood was. So I listened to 115. And quite commonly back in the day, of course, you have to be of a certain age to say back in the day, don't you, Sasha? Quite commonly, back in the day, when I was a young kid, quite commonly, Prabhupada would lecture on more than one verse. He would have the verse, Pradyumna would read the Sanskrit, everybody would chant it, and then he'd do the purport, he'd speak, and he'd say, okay, next verse. And sure enough, in the middle of this lecture on 115, Prabhupada says, next verse, 116. So I got to hear what Prabhupada had to say, you know. This was very enlivening for me because now I had some foundation upon which to base my own class. So it, you know, brought me quite a bit of joy. Now, the only thing is to see if any of it stuck with me. We'll see where that goes. Now, in this purport, Prabhupada makes a very strong statement. And this is a statement that's applicable to each and every one of us who are following his instructions, who are following the lifestyle that he gave us. Whether we're old or whether we're young, this is very important, because at some point in our life, this will become a reality. And Prabhupada says, one must be free from all vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasasana. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasasana who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above-mentioned vices. Okay. Now, if that doesn't scare you off sufficiently, then we have, he not only should be freed from all vices, but also must be well-versed in the scriptures and in the Vedas. So by that standard, I have no business sitting here. Matter of fact, many of us might question what is our qualification to dare to sit in front of Srila Prabhupada on this seat and speak to these assembled Vaishnavas. Although it is, you know, without question that we're certainly free from the four vices that Prabhupada mentions here, spotless character and well-versed in scriptures, that may be a stretch for some of us. Yet, Prabhupada did not see us in that way. Prabhupada didn't see us as fallen. Prabhupada didn't see us as unqualified. Prabhupada didn't see us as inept. He always saw the best in his disciples. Prabhupada always bragged about his disciples. He always brought them up. He always uplifted them. And he never dismissed any of us for our shortcomings, even when in some cases, as we know our own history, some of those shortcomings, even during Prabhupada's times, were quite blatant, quite serious. Prabhupada always encouraged. I remember one time there was one senior devotee who had some difficulty and fallen away from Prabhupada's close service, and someone else had more or less prior to the internet had spread these details of this individual's difficulties all throughout the society. And when Prabhupada came to know of this, he said, this is not good. He said, you have now made it very difficult for him to come back. We all have a little bit of pride. Personally, our pride will be smashed when we're shown to be a fool before a spiritual master. But then when publicly our pride is trashed in front of all of our associates and friends and like that, then it becomes very difficult to have the necessary humility to come back in to that circumstance in a fallen condition. So I always take that as one of Prabhupada's earliest examples, even long before social media came into existence, that no, don't go on and just talk trash about people. It's just not what a Vaishnava does. You know, we see many times this happens, but this is not the behavior of a Vaishnava. No. At any rate, Prabhupada was always loving. Prabhupada was always encouraging about our activities in devotional service. He always used the example of the mango. How many of you like mangoes? Anybody here like mangoes? Wow, look at all those kids' hands go up. Woo! How many of you like that really hard green mango that comes into the house? Yeah, not so many. How many of you like that really kind of rosy, yellow-colored, soft one? You can almost put your thumb... Come on, girls. Really? You don't like them? You can almost put your thumb in it, and then when you slice it open, the juice just runs. Actually, in the heavenly planets, the mangoes are so big that when you cut them, it's an entire river of mango juice. And when they fall from the trees, they hit the ground and go, and this river of mango juice comes out. I mean, not that we want to go to the heavenly planets just to get good mangoes. I'm just saying, you know. So the point being that none of us really are excited about the green mango. But if you were to ask Mother Madhumati, she'd tell you that the green mango is very, very good for making pickle, because it's not quite ripe yet. It's not going to disintegrate. And there's a certain way to do it, which I don't know, because I absolutely do not like pickle, although my wife is one of the best pickle makers around. However, the green mango is expert for that. It's particular quality. So it's a mango. No, no, but it's green. Ugh. Prabhupada said, no, it's actually very good. So in the same way he would look at us, his disciples, okay, some of them are not perfected, but they're like mango, green mango, red mango, it's still a mango, it's still beneficial. So in this way, Prabhupada always encouraged. Prabhupada always gave us, you know, uplifting words of appreciation. So we, in that mood, should try our best to be equally kind and encouraging to each other. This is very essential. This is one of the important qualities of Vaishnavas, to see the good in others. There's that famous example with Haridas Thakur, where he says that one should not be like the fly, which is always going to the sore. You know, you get that scratch on your arm or something, and flies always go there, gnats, they always want to be there. And it's not a very nice thing to be, you know, but the honeybee goes to the flower, goes to the honey like that. So we are encouraged to be otherwise. We have so many faults, there's no question. All of us have so many faults. But as long as we steer away from these four main faults, then we're considered benefited. We're considered properly situated. As Prabhupada said, you can't criticize a person who's in the shower washing off the dirt. Oh, you're dirty. Yeah, but I'm in the shower getting it off. So this is the point. So how do we get it? Well, Prabhupada gives these four particular vices we must refrain from. Everyone knows them. There's no news here to any of us. Illicit connection with men and women, animal slaughter, intoxication, and speculative gambling of all sorts. These four activities being refrained from give us the basic qualification to sit here and speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, to be able to share our realization. As long as we realize we're speaking on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, because he is speaking on behalf of Srila Vyasadeva, and that we are, as a result of that, his bona fide representative. Bona fide representative. I remember when I first joined, I had a little trouble with this word, because I grew up in St. Louis, and in St. Louis we had a gas station chain called Bonafide Gas. You know, you've got Shell and Exxon, and well, we had one in St. Louis called Bonafide Gas. Now, Bonafide Gas was known to be a cheap gas brand, and usually in poor, less well-to-do sections of the city. So Bonafide Gas was never like, well, I went to Bonafide Gas today. Oh, really? You know, it wasn't ever considered a really good thing. So when I heard about the Bonafide message of the spiritual master, I was like, I don't know about that, because I had this idea in my mind of this word. But after some time, I was able to appreciate what the true meaning of bona fide was and how it was actually a very good thing. So now, regarding these four principles, why these four? Now, I was asked this question the other day. Why do we have these four principles that we follow? What's particular to them? The restraint of these four principles, the four regulative principles as we described them, carry with them four good qualities. Let's see if any of our students in the Bhaktivedanta Academy know these. We'll start, Prabhupada starts with illicit sex. What is the good quality given by restricting illicit sex? Who knows? Okay. Ah, Gauranga, yes. That's one of the other ones. We'll just go through them here. By refraining from illicit sexual connection, one develops cleanliness both internally and externally. Very easy to understand. Anybody with half a brain substance can equate the connection there. Meat eating. By refraining from meat eating, one develops compassion and mercy towards other living beings. By refraining from gambling, one develops Gauranga, truthfulness, yes. And by refraining from intoxication, one develops self-control and restraint of the senses. So these four qualities, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, and self-control. Outside of religious circles, even if an individual has these qualities, you would consider them to be a good person. I wouldn't mind associating with somebody like that. All right, they may not be a devotee, they may not chant Hare Krishna, they may not know anything, but they got some pretty nice qualities here. So these four qualities are expected to be developed in the character of a saintly person. And these restrictions that correspond with them are the means by which to develop these qualities. So if we have a desire to develop these qualities, then these are the means by which to do it. It's a very clear formula Prabhupada gives us here. Those of our devotees that are familiar with the concept of science, science means you take a formula, you practice it, you get a result, you know it works, you do it over and over again. Here's the formula, and it's been repeated throughout history. These restrictions give these qualities. So that's a very good point. Now, in the second part of this purport, Prabhupada speaks on the importance of being able to listen, and in this case, listen to Prabhupada's classes, and then speak on what we've heard. Prabhupada says in the purport, one can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. When we see a word like this used, now this sentence could have read, one can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures by hearing and explaining. Okay, that's one thing. By the inserting of that one simple four-letter word, one can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only, in Sanskrit we might use the word nasteva. There's no other way. Only by this way of hearing and explaining. Hearing is called shravanam, and explaining is called kirtanam. The two processes of shravanam and kirtanam are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Not only do we have to hear, everyone's sitting here very nicely listening to the class, that's great, but we have to explain it. We have to give some understanding of it. We have to give an appreciation of what we heard to others. Prabhupada mentions that Suta Goswami was offered the seat of the Vyasasan, the seat of Vyasadeva, because he was aware of these things and because he was well-versed in the scriptures, the Itihasa, the history, the Puranas, the even older history, the Dharma Shastra, the scriptures that include everything. So in this way, one has to hear, but one has to be equally as emphatic, equally as interested in sharing what they hear. Therefore, Suta Goswami is qualified according to this because you have read, and not only read, but have described. Because what happens? When you describe something, you retain it much better. Prabhupada continues, description means you read something. Then unless you fully assimilate, understand it, you cannot describe it. These two things, simply reading alone will not help us. When we shall be able to preach what we are reading, that will be our success. I was asked the other day by one of the students in the Bhaktivedanta Academy, how do you remember the different stories of the acharyas that you speak about? And particularly, we were describing the different deities in Vrindavan and which Goswami was associated with which deity. Ask me, how do you remember this stuff? So this is how we remember. By hearing something, and then once we hear it, grasping what we've heard, and then sharing that with others. This process of hearing and chanting. You read something, then you share that with the next person you meet. You discuss that with those that you come in contact with. And by that process, then you'll be able to remember it. And then you do that repeatedly for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, and something's bound to stick. Something's bound to stick. Now, Prabhupada also says, so advancing our spiritual life, we must, Prabhupada uses the word primary. This is a very instructive word, this word primary. We have our primary education. First you start out in the lower grades, your basic stuff, A, B, C, D, 1 plus 2 equals 3. Okay, I got that. And then in this way you go to the secondary education. Okay, so primary school, the younger students, they're educated first in these basic things, and then from there they can graduate to the secondary level. Then the secondary level, they can graduate to a higher level. And then from there on to an advanced level, this progression comes. So the primary is the beginning of what we have to do. So Prabhupada says it is primary activity is to be able to understand and share what we've heard. And this is essential for our progressive advancement in spiritual life. Progressive advancement. We don't just want to have spiritual life. Oh, that's a very nice spiritual person. If year after year after year, all anybody can say about it is, yeah, they're a nice spiritual person. No, we want to be seen as progressing in our spiritual activities, in our maturity, in our understanding, in our advancement, in our renunciation of the material energy. We want to be seen as moving along in this way. So this is the importance. And how do we do that? By hearing and then by sharing. Primary importance to our spiritual life begins with the foundation of this formula. And this is, let's be honest, a missionary movement. The movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a missionary movement. The movement of Srila Prabhupada is a missionary movement. Now, nowadays, the people don't like the word missionary because it kind of carries with it a effort of forcing one's beliefs on someone else in maybe a not-so-palatable way. Forcibly converting someone to a different point of view by being a missionary in a foreign environment to you. So, you know, but in reality, the how of the missionary activities may need to be refined a little bit, but nonetheless, the movement of Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada is a missionary movement. What did Mahaprabhu instruct? My transcendental sound vibration, the holy name, should be distributed in every town and village. Every town and village. And Srila Prabhupada, what did he encourage? Distribute my books in every town and village. Now, of course, during the time of Mahaprabhu, the every town and village was seen to every town and village in India. They didn't have the opportunity to hop on a boat or hop on a plane and travel across the world so easily. Excuse me. Srila Prabhupada, the Jet Age Paramahamsa, was this phrase once described for Srila Prabhupada. So, and he was saying in this, describing it, how, you know, he encouraged that his spiritual master would encourage his disciples to get on the motor car. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was the first one to have his sannyasis travel by motor car because it facilitated preaching in every town and village, the missionary move. So this is what we do. This is what our heritage, our inheritance, inheritance is from Srila Prabhupada, to share this. But to do it, we have to have heard nicely. We have to have understood what it is that we're going to share. Prabhupada gives a wonderful example, just like when a doctor goes into the field where there's an epidemic and there's some disease there and they go to administer, the first thing they do is inoculate themselves to make sure they're not going to get the infection. So before we go out and preach, before we go out in this Shravanam Kirtanam method, we have to inoculate our own selves against Maya by being sufficiently well-read and well-understood in the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus the reason for these morning classes. Thus the reason for Nitya Bhagavata, daily, regularly, eternal study of the Bhagavatam. We just finished the 12th canto. Was it like, okay, we're done. We'll just, I guess we'll just hang out during the morning. There's no more Bhagavatam to study. No, let's do it again, all the way back to the beginning. Because the Bhagavatam can be repeatedly understood. Repeatedly we should study. So, now regarding the Puranas, Prabhupada makes mention of them in the purport here. And in that lecture I was describing, he makes a very important point. He says, just like the Purana, we are speaking from Bhagavat Purana. Bhagavat is also a Purana. Purana means very old, old history, Purana. And Itihasa also means history. He says, but Vedic civilizations were concerned with historical evidences which were very, very important. At the present moment in our modern days, history is written chronologically. One period may be important, one period may not be important, but they write all of history. The Vedic way of writing history was not like that. Every day, so many things are happening, every day and every year, but that is not the Vedic process. The important things are written down. Now, sometimes when we're studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that the order of the Bhagavatam is not linear, as we're accustomed to a linear concept of life. It goes by topics. It goes by particular presentation of a subject matter, which may or may not always be in historical order. So this means that we have to listen carefully to what's being presented so that we can grasp it, because it may be out of the order we're expecting things to be. Prabhupada also mentions the Mahabharata. Now, in this same lecture I was talking about, he speaks very strongly. He says, so the Mahabharata especially was written for three classes of people. Who are those three classes? Stri, Sudra, Dvija Bandhu. Stri means women, Sudra means the worker class, and Dvija Bandhu means persons who have taken birth in a high caste but are degraded by their activities. These people do not keep up the standard of the culture. So why is this? Mahabharata, the Ramayana, they don't contain detailed points of philosophy. You don't find in the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, the explanations of the Vedanta teachings, details of the layout of the universe as we find in the fifth canto, things of this nature. It's in a story format. And in the verse there, it uses the word illustrator. So this was also an important part of it. So the affinity some persons may have towards comic books, or what they now call, what do they call that? They have a name for that genre. Oh, yeah. So this is kind of expected in this age. That's going to be our level of interest. It's due to our Kali Yuga birth. We're not very qualified. None of us. And all of us fall into either the category of women, of workers, or degraded persons by our habits. So we can't say, oh, this is a very prejudicial statement. No, this statement pretty much covers us all. We're either not qualified, or we're engaged in activities that prevent us from being qualified. And those activities are what prevent us from being able to clearly understand the Bhagavatam. How many of us really honestly can delve into Jiva Goswami's Suts and Dharvas? I mean, maybe one or two of us. How many of us honestly understand the detailed message of Vedanta Sutra? The inner teachings of the four Vedas? A few to none of us. Prabhupada says, at the present moment, our memory is so low grade, we can't even remember what we did in the past 2 hours. This is the standard of activity. Many times people I meet in this work I do, driving folks around, oh yeah, I don't remember what we did last night. Do you remember what we did last night? They're engaged in such a level of intoxication, their memory's completely gone. And this was actually one of the criticisms that Prakasananda Saraswati leveled against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't study the Vedas, you just chant and dance. Well, honestly speaking, if it wasn't for the chanting and dancing, and occasional club shamans, I don't think many of us would be sitting here in this room right now, you know. So this story format of Mahabharata, this story format of Ramayana is very practical for this day and age. It's what's meant for this day and age. Storytelling. But storytelling with Krishna at the center. This is the importance. We have to keep Krishna at the center of what we do. This is our training. This is what we regularly need to do. We go to work. It's to earn Lakshmi, to support Krishna's devotees, our family, to support our home, hopefully Krishna's temple, and to support the projects that Prabhupada has established within ISKCON. We go to school. It's to become well-educated so that we can be knowledgeable devotees of Krishna, both in the material sense and the spiritual sense. Sri Shukanasad recommends that we have to know science and nation side by side. We eat. We have to eat to maintain the body, so we eat Krishna prasadam, and that allows us to keep our bodies in the service of Krishna. We sleep. It's meant to replenish and rejuvenize, re-energize our bodies so that we can do service of Krishna, and so on and so on and so on, like this. Just like Ambarish Maharaj, he used everything he had, Savaimana Krishna Padada Vindayo. First, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and then he engaged his senses, one right after the next. Even our muscles, our leg muscles, our arm muscles. We can use those while we circulate, go over downhill and do dunderbutts and run, go over downhill. You didn't think I was going to go through a class and I mentioned go over downhill, did you? So in this way, you know, we can see that we can understand very clearly what the standard is Prabhupada gives us, how we can establish ourselves in that standard, and how we can be successful in that standard as far as our daily activities. It's a very simple scientific format. All we have to do is follow what Prabhupada says, and it's very easy. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much for your time. If anyone has any comments, questions, I have a question over here.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. I'm glad you're back to Tuesday. Are you back permanently on Tuesday? Are you back permanently on Tuesday giving class?
We'll see what the schedule says. I have no say-so in the matter.
My
question
is,
I'm asked.
At the beginning you were telling us about a site, and I didn't catch the second word, where you hear unedited lectures. Prabhupada, is it the
Prabhupadvani, yeah, prabhupadvani.org.
Can you spell it for me, please?
V-A-N-I, Vani.
Vani, Vani.
Prabhupadvani.org.
Can you get that on YouTube, on the phone?
No, it's a separate website. Yeah, it's a prabhupadvani.org.
Okay, so it's like the internet.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
It's a great site. Anything else? No? That was easy. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.